Middle East and Africa.
Iran's electronic confrontation with Israel. Bite the bullet. The two foes are engaged in an intense cyber struggle, with Israel still a click ahead.
Ziv Hospital is nestled at the bottom of Safed, the highest city in Israel, not far from the border with Syria and Lebanon. In November, the hospital acknowledged that hackers had penetrated its computer systems. An Iran-backed hacking group would later claim to have gained access to 500 gigabytes of patient data, including 100,000 medical records linked to Israeli soldiers. That is hardly unusual. Hackers regularly target and breach hospitals, usually to extort ransoms. The digital assault on Ziv, however, embodied the cyber war raging between Israel and its enemies in the aftermath of Hamas's massacre of Israelis on October 7th. The attack was novel in several respects, says Gabby Portnoy, the head of the Israel National Cyber Directorate, INCD, the country's defensive cyber agency, in an interview with The Economist. For one thing, it was a joint operation conducted by Iran and its ally Hezbollah, the militia and political party that dominates Lebanon. They didn't work so well together until October 7th, he says. We now see them exchanging targets, exchanging capabilities. They are almost the same. The choice of target also broke with the past. Iran and Hezbollah had not previously attacked Israeli hospitals, says Mr. Portnoy, a retired brigadier general. After October 7th, Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, ordered cyber operations against Israel to be expanded, he says, citing Israeli intelligence. The result has been a barrage both more intense and more refined. The rate of cyber attacks against Israel rose threefold after October 7th. Iranian ones have grown more sophisticated, with less spillover beyond the intended target. They are more accurate, they collect better intel, and they go to the right places, says Mr. Portnoy. They know more about Israel sometimes than we do. Previously, it would take Iran weeks to exploit software vulnerabilities that had become public, he adds. That has fallen to days. None has succeeded in disrupting Israel's critical infrastructure, such as power or water systems, in part thanks to digital sensors placed inside the networks of crucial facilities after October 7th. Most of the intrusions are, in essence, a form of harassment rather than anything resembling an armed attack. Some are meant for espionage rather than subversion, but many are also a form of information warfare. Some Iran-linked hackers have masqueraded as the families of hostages captured by Hamas, with the aim of widening divisions in Israeli society. Iranian hackers have developed a sophisticated understanding of Israel's social and political fractures, notes a recent study by the Institute for National Security Studies in Tel Aviv, with separate messages aimed at proponents and opponents of the war. In some cases, hackers intending to frighten Israelis need not even hack anything, notes James Shires of the European Cyber Conflict Research Institute. For example, an Iranian group leaked footage purporting to be from outside Israel's Nevatim airbase. It was, in fact, from an unrelated site on a road of the same name in northern Israel. You get the effect by getting attention on it, he says. Hamas itself, apart from some early hacking of surveillance cameras in Israel, has been almost irrelevant as a cyber force since December, says Mr. Portnoy. He chalks that up to Israel's war in Gaza, which has disrupted the group's hackers as well as its fighters. More broadly, Mr. Portnoy, a veteran of Unit 8200, an elite intelligence unit that conducts offensive cyber operations, acknowledges that protecting Israel's computer networks requires penetrating enemy ones. You cannot do defense without offensive attacks. That is partly to identify the sources of attacks, but it is also to punch back. Consider Predatory Sparrow, a hacking group suspected to be a front for the Israeli government. In 2021, it disrupted the rail network and petrol stations across Iran and hacked into digital billboards to display messages mocking Mr. Khamenei. A follow-up in 2022 damaged three Iranian steel factories, spewing molten steel across the floor of one plant. In December, it struck again, bringing down 70% of the petrol stations in Iran, declaring, "This cyber attack comes in response to the aggression of the Islamic Republic and its proxies." Israeli officials do not publicly acknowledge their role in these attacks. But Mr. Portnoy insists that Israel shares the same norms and values as Western offensive cyber agencies. "We will not do things that our enemies are doing to us," he says. "We are very concerned not to harm people, not to influence civilian life too much." Predatory Sparrow attacks, unlike Russian or North Korean attacks on critical infrastructure in the past, show signs of restraint and careful design, notes J.D. Work of the National Defense University in Washington. He cites features that prevent the malware from spreading to unrelated networks and the decision to use well-known, extensively documented tools rather than novel ones, which could result in the proliferation of advanced cyber capabilities. "The result is a lopsided cyber war of very unequal actors," says Mr. Shires. "Israel has repeatedly shown it can do spectacular harm to the computer networks controlling some of Iran's key infrastructure. Despite its progress, Iran's capabilities are not much better than mid-level organized crime gangs," says a source. Israeli officials fear that could change suddenly. Iran has provided drones, shells, and other arms to Russia for use in Ukraine. A concern is that Russia might reciprocate with cyber tools or know-how. That would be a surprise. Russia has long used those tools to snoop on Iran itself, sometimes cannily pocketing intelligence that has been collected by Iranian spies. Even so, the lack of precedent does not reassure Israeli officials. "Iran," says Mr. Portnoy, "in a click of a button could have superpower capabilities."